What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
All people at home!
Let me talk to you!
Get the drugs from my generation. And it's a sin to God, the fake, the fraud, the messer with me. Come on, come on, come on!
You are cash!
Let's get it out! Move to the music, play like music, move it to the
music. Welcome to Monday Night Raw!
Hey, yo.
You just made the list.
Well, enough is enough, and it's time for a change.
If I can be serious for a minute, for the love of God, stay away from the people, dogs.
Move to the music, play like music. Move it to the music, yeah.
Cheers.
Acknowledge me.
Cheers, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the DWI podcast. My name is PC Tunnyhausen, and I am joined, as always, by the man, the myth, the legend, the other half of the world's greatest tag team never. It's him. It is him. It's the B, DPP Hausen.
I'm waiting for, I want to ask that man when we're going to get his WWE Funko Pophausen, because I need that for my collection.
Oh, sure. Yeah. But we're not alone. We're not alone. As we told you, at the end of January, we were on the road to WrestleMania, and we are joined by none other than Raymond S. Cashington's The First. Hi, Ray.
Boys, good to see you. A couple quick hits. Number one, love being on with you guys. Never can because y'all record at like 2:30 in the morning. Secondly, secondly, don't remind me of WrestleMania, because if you remember last year, I did like 8 shows, 2 articles, I fed 15 families, like I did it all. I'm still tired. Number three, I don't normally do this. I would normally acknowledge, shout out to Roman, you guys being the world's greatest tag team, but when you come in playing the Outsiders music and I'm wearing the Outsiders t-shirt, I do happen to come from one of the most legendary shows in the history of Chair Shot.
But we're not the greatest tag team.
Oh, well.
We're the greatest tag team.
Put the tag back, but then reverse it. Back it up.
We're the greatest tag team never.
Hey, yo.
Yeah. Well, thank you. That was whoever gave me that hey, yo loved it.
But was it me?
We already tested that one, didn't we?
That works.
That was mean.
One of those computers work. Hey, we may get Outsider's Edge before Mania. Kyle and I always try to do at least one Mania preview, so you may see one.
Well, stay tuned for that, folks. It'd be great to hear Kyle's voice again. But for this week, let's let everybody know, DPP, what's happening on the 512th edition of the podcast known as DWI.
Well, we're waiting.
Well, it's the big show.
To follow the theme, it's the big show. Cheethausen.
Yeah. Well,
I don't speak that language, by the way, so I'll figure it out.
we're going to discuss everything that's going on the main roster as we are well on our way on the road to WrestleMania. And in the last call, we're going to talk some NFL free agencies, some here I come, no, I don't kind of things happening over there. But before we do all of that, let me remind you to head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Check it out. Tons of great t-shirt designs. Makes a great gift any time of the year for any of a wrestling fan in your life. That's prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Continue to listen to everything Chairshot Radio Network like you are right now. All of your favorite streaming platforms. And don't forget to head over to thechairshot.com. Tons of great wrestling coverage there. In addition, to podcasts and articles and everything else we got going on. So we're going to take our first commercial break. When we come back, we're going to get into the WrestleMania. It's Ray Cash joining DPP and PC Tunney right here on DWI 512. Don't drink and drive. Drink and podcast.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
All right, gents, here we are, DWI 512. Before we get, well, it's part of the road to WrestleMania because it's happening right now. We've mentioned it half a dozen times already. We'll start with Ray. How do you like the debut of Danhausen and what they've done with him since the crate?
Well, the debut got over like a wet fart. However, that may have been the best thing for Danhausen. It may have been. I have a lot of empathy for the people in Chicago that night because they were put in a very bad situation. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and give credence to the people who thought like Jericho was coming. And for a while I did too. But, or people who were thinking like someone major was coming, Adam Copeland or some stupid shit like that. But, I mean, respectfully, Housing. Did I do it right? Thank you. I mean, respectfully, we are diehard people. We literally talk wrestling, follow wrestling, work for a wrestling website, have interviewed wrestlers, are friends with actual, real, legitimate wrestlers. Like, we are not the normal fan, us three, and a lot of us here on the chair shot and so on and so forth. 70% of people have never heard of this dude. So to put him in that spot, in between CM Punk coming out to fucking Alan Parsons, and having rep match of the year candidate, and then the main event of all main events, that was a really bad spot for him to be in, right? But as you've seen, when the shows have happened, and exactly, he just gone through the roof. And one thing about Danhausen that it's the reason why he works is he needs time to show you who he is. Coming out of a coffin, coming out to a really cheesy ass song. Doing the fucking Elvira jiggle, jiggle, jiggle dance and giving teeth to Michael fucking Cole. That ain't something that's going to really tell people who you are. But the whole curse thing, and that's the most important thing, dog. When he does the curse, it works. Dom ain't champ no more. El Grande Americano, OG, lost his match against Penta. It's working. So I think the debut was bad, but almost in a good way, and everything since then I think has been utilized absolutely perfectly.
Yeah, we were talking about that last week as well, like horrible to do that on the PLE. It just didn't work, especially for that character, I guess. And yeah, I love the fact that they do the curse thing and make it a bit, you know, and make it, I think, especially what, you know, as they drag probably The Miz doing a little bit more into it with him potentially being his mentor. I think The Miz being the folly of the curse for a longer period of time could be a lot of fun. And I want that. I would love to see that continue on. Like he curses a couple people and they have to, I think we were talking about it, they have to like do something to break the curse or whatever. But you see this downfall of people because they keep getting, you know, they have this curse on them and, you know, they owe him favors or something. And that's kind of how this whole thing works, which would be a lot of fun to do, I think, for quite a while.
I think if you want to describe him right now, it would be Munnyhausen. Like, dude's got the number one selling t-shirt. They've done brilliant skits with him. Like, they've put their best writers on it, and I would imagine they were smart enough to have those writers work with Danhausen and not just hand him something, right? Like, he's created this character that's fucking awesome if you just put him in the right positions, and they've done that every step of the way since he came out of the crate. Yeah, and the fact that there's, like, you know, people who don't know could go back and see, like, he has a lot of friends that are on this roster that he knew beforehand, right? Like, people that probably said, yo, bring this guy in. He's going to make you a ton of money. And
his best
probably,
friend, the one that got him hired.
And probably one of the most important things I've heard, maybe from Ray or Dan, I'm not sure, but people were like, this guy is perfect for Triple A. He's perfect for down there, like character-wise and like everything they're doing with Mr. Iguana and the overtop selling and things of that nature. So I could see him being a big asset there. Although he's getting over on the main roster right now. I'm interested to see when and if he'll actually wrestle before WrestleMania. I would personally, if I was going to do something with him for WrestleMania, I think the best thing you could do this year would be make him the host.
That was my question. Does he have to wrestle?
I don't know that he has to. I think he will at some point.
Well, so, yeah, I mean.
Or is he just going to be like a manager?
He's not going to be a manager. I think he's going to be a character that vacillates, as a T word, in and out of storylines and situations and things of that nature, who can take bumps. And yes, inevitably, I'm going to compare him to someone, and I mean, take it how you will. He's Boogeyman. Boogeyman very rarely wrestled, but Boogeyman was involved and took bumps and everything. I think that's an apt comparison. I don't need him to be a regular wrestler. I don't. He's not of size. He never really was that good to begin with. No diss, because he's made a great career for himself. And I don't want him anywhere near a ring of WrestleMania. I'd love to see skits backstage, but I just think the fear I have, and a lot of on the fence fans about WWE tend to feel this a lot more than we do, and I do, but WWE does have the tendency, when something's working, to use the fuck out of it. And I am nervous that it's already a very weird, very kind of niche deal and gimmick that they overdo it, and we're sick of dude, but we got him for 4 more years. Take it slow.
And I think, you know, mentioning Triple A, that's perfect place, you know, to have him do some more of that comedy. If they want to have him do a little more in-ring stuff, and him and Mr. Iguana or whatever doing some comedy, more, you know, comedic wrestling type of thing, great. You know, I think that's a perfect place for him to maybe do something like that. And I'd be totally fine with him not really getting in the ring too much. And the Boogeyman was exactly the same thing I thought I had to, was like, that's a good, perfect idea. You know, him in the backstage doing these random skits and stuff. And yeah, just doing this cursing people here and there, and people get scared of him when he's walking around because of that. And, you know, you can have that whole bit, and, you know, yeah, eventually maybe gets in the ring once in a while to take a couple bumps or something, to whatever they want to do, break the curse or whatever, just have something funny happen on a Raw or whatever, a little bit, but doesn't have to be big matches. Doesn't have to be anything like that. Like you said, he's not a big guy, so I don't see him getting into big title picture matches or anything like that or something. So, I mean, I think that's a perfect spot for him, and could be comedy gold, like having R-Truth out there doing, you know, his comedy stuff. It's another side of that, you know.
Triple Mania 2027, the main event, Mr. Iguana versus Dan Allen.
And if not, estas maldito. That's your curse in Spanish.
And yeah, the best part about that is that happened. Iguana versus Danhausen at Triple Mania. Undertaker is booking it.
The Iguana would die. The Iguana would be cursed. The little stuffed Iguana would be cursed. It would be like,
I feel
do
like.
You, do you think?
If he ends up going and wrestling there, I mean, with the curse already on Dom, does he take the title from him? Does he do something down there and screw Dom out of it?
Maybe that's a big match later. Maybe he doesn't, but somebody else, yeah.
Yeah, causes that.
Do you think 20 years ago, where Mark Calloway was sitting in his house in Austin, probably with some post-concussion syndrome, not trying to be funny, but like, dude took bumps, he thought that this would be his life in 20 years, where he would possibly be booking Danhausen versus Mr. Iguana?
I don't know, man. Hey, Ray. Bro came through in the 80s and 90s when they had fucking Duke the Dumpster Drosy. So, like,
this is fair.
I mean,
by the way, shout out to Duke the Dumpster Drosy making the Hall of Fame. Let's
like, he was there for the original gobbledygooker shit, right? So he's got to think it's way better than that.
That's a good point. Wasn't that the same day? Didn't they debut the same show?
Did Undertaker debut? Yeah, I think that was that. That
and
was
the Goblin of Gozer?
Survivor Series? Wow.
I'm not sure, but I think so.
Boy, what a night.
Well, let's get back to the rest of the card for WrestleMania and the things that are shaping up right now. I think the biggest thing that happened since Ray was on the show is, and we talked about it last week, is Cody's champ now. We all said it, and it made sense when it was put out there that the only reason they really took the belt off Cody was to put him in the Elimination Chamber in the Royal Rumble. And if he had the belt, you couldn't do that. So why not make Drew McIntyre happy for a little while? I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think Drew should have kept the title moving forward? Yes. Are you happy it's Randy and Cody? No. Do you think they could have just done Randy and Cody without the belt?
Yes.
Or would you rather have just seen Drew versus Randy?
The right answer was what they built to, a multi-man match. That was the right answer.
Oh, I don't want that.
That's fine. Look, there's a lot of shit that we don't want in WrestleMania, but then don't book to that. That's my only thing. Like, because basically, unless you're going to give me, let's say, Trick versus Sammy and Sammy interferes in Randy Cody or some kind of way to integrate all these people who have been literally, and Jacob Fatu,
if it's going to be Fatu versus Jacob Drew. And Drew now. Yeah.
Well, it's okay. But they all have been in each other's periphery for so long. And each person's story has been directly related to the next person. There was literally an episode of SmackDown where Drew had three segments in the first 35 minutes where he was interrupted by Cody, Fatu, and Trick. That was at some point.
The problem I think, though, is the fact that Drew also said, you know, after Elimination Chamber or during it, I'm not sure when he said it. He said something
it was in the build-up, yeah, in the interview.
Like, what if there's a multi? He's like, well, what's the point of the Elimination Chamber then?
And so that's a great reasoning from Drew Galloway. But Drew McIntyre, the character, the reasoning would be you keep putting your fucking shit in other people's shit. If you just minded your business, and that's the beauty of the Drew McIntyre character, is he's one of those villains or antagonists who believes he's right and oftentimes is right. But this is one of the few times that his right is wrong because he puts himself in all these bad situations. You antagonize Cody all the time and put yourself in that to get Cody this other match that he wasn't supposed to have. You broke Jacob Fatu's jaw and wondering why he's still beefing with you all this time. You're the one who cost Randy Orton this match against Aleister Black and wondering why he got beef with you. You're the one who has antagonized Sami Zayn for years because he could never beat you. And you're the one who can't leave Trick alone because Trick want to keep talking shit and you won't let the little young boy go do what he want to do. You want to make sure you let him know that you big dog. You doing this to yourself, my boy. But the biggest negative of this whole situation, and by the way, the match is going to be fine. Love the intro. I'm going to love it. I hate that they didn't give it a full build, but whatever. The biggest problem is I just named six people who all need to, thank you, I couldn't remember my fingers, who all need to and deserve to be on WrestleMania in some type of featured form, and you could have had them all in one 25-minute situation, and now they have to have three matches on a card that's already short.
What if they just have a battle royal housing and whoever doesn't, all the 29 people that don't win are cursed?
Okay, can I pull the Drew McIntyre then?
We can't.
Well, what's the point of the Royal Rumble?
There's too many people to curse there.
You just want everybody who gets eliminated to be cursed? God.
I don't know. It was stupid. It was stupid. Dan,
if he wins the Andre the Memorial Giant Battle Rumble, are we still having that? Maybe.
Oh my God. You just told us what's going to happen. Danhausen's going to win the Battle Royal. Oh my God.
That'd be great. What are your thoughts on what Ray is commenting, though? Because the thing I love about bringing in Ray or Andrew is we all have the same passion for wrestling, but like, Ray looks at it different than Dan and I do, and Andrew looks at it even another different way than Dan and I do. And while Dan and I don't always agree, we're usually on the same page. So what are your thoughts on what Ray has to say about Drew McIntyre and that whole title picture situation?
And what I love about Ray is he catches those little nuances, those little different things like that where, yeah, he's been antagonizing everybody. Why isn't everybody coming after him? I was on board with it. This is one where I was on board with a multi-man match as well. I was thinking they would go towards a fatal four-way or something like that, and I think that would have been really fun. Not that Rhodes and Orton isn't going to deliver, and they've got a ridiculously long backstory you know, all the way back to their days in their faction. So, you know, it's going to be great.
I tell you who's not walking through that door at WrestleMania. That's Ted DiBiase Jr., bitches.
Well, unless he's got Dom's money. Unless he comes in like Dom did and the handcuffs and everything.
I think he's literally in jail.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a question for you guys.
Yeah.
That's relevant to this conversation.
Hope so.
So we are 6 weeks away. That would be crazy if I just asked you about the weather, right?
I gotta ask you guys a question.
So what do you think about Jimmy John's sandwiches?
What do you think about wearing blue on Thursdays, huh?
I'm a firehouse subs man myself, but nonetheless. 6 weeks away? 6-7 weeks away, right, from Mania, just about somewhere in there?
I think it's 6 from Saturday.
Okay, so 6 from Saturday. So we're gonna get 6 weeks of ramped up Cody.
Five weeks, we're
getting close.
Five.
For 5 weeks of ramped up Cody versus Randy build, right? How do you guys feel about the idea of going into the Rumble, knowing what your card is, versus the way Triple H has done it in the past few years, and it's letting the card build later on closer to Mania so we don't have this big gap of 3 months to fill a build? How do you feel about the difference?
I think it's better to put your studs in the foundation in place. Like, we know Roman and Punk already, right? We knew that already. We had known that Liv, we'd likely guess Stephanie Vakur. Like, those major things, as long as I know those, I like not knowing the rest of it because you don't have this constant repetition. If you know the mid-card stuff, like, I don't need to see the mid-card stuff for 12 weeks, right? I need a good 3-4 week build, or, you know, maybe 1 week I don't get them, but then I get them 2 weeks in a row before WrestleMania and stuff like that. I'm totally okay with that. And in all honesty, from my perspective, I'm okay with either way, as long as they do it right, as long as they do it well.
Right. It's all about telling the story, I think. And so, yeah, I'm good either way, you know, and if they sell me on it and can build up that story and make it worth watching, then I wouldn't necessarily care when that initially got built or started, as long as it had enough time to really build and hook me in. I do like the fact that, you know, we know kind of who's going to be in the main event, you know, like, hey, you know, Cody Rhodes wins the Royal Rumble, so I know, you know, he's going into this match or whatever. Cool. And if they want to shift a little bit of stuff around, great. I'm all good for that. As long as they're building that story and giving me something to, you know, sink my teeth into and enjoy it. That's what I really want, no matter when it starts to happen.
Can I use Punk and Roman as an example for the point I'm making?
Please do, because we're gonna go to that next.
Well, look at that journalism. By the way, hashtag journalism t-shirt live now on presentees.com/thechairshot. Thank you very much. I love the way the build is happening, but I think so. Roman is unique because he's not there every week. But imagine if we had 13 weeks of Punk versus Roman over and over and over again. This build for Punk and Roman, as has happened, has included a whole ass 4 week mini build with Punk versus Finn. And then now Punk is beefing with the Usos because basically he made fun of Roman Dead Daddy. And like, so, and that's why I'm more of a proponent of booking. Of course, you need to have your ten poles, you have your rumbles, and then you have your elimination chambers. So you have, you know what the four main events are going to be by February. I like that. But I am concerned about the old way, and I'm a big proponent of the new way, because, like, I think about this, Orton versus Cody, that's a feud that deserves a 3-month build. We're going to get that in, like, 5 weeks?
Yeah, but who says that? Like, so for that, I think the story isn't over at WrestleMania. Cody's going to be a bad guy this summer.
Antagonist, not bad guy.
Bad guy. Yeah!
Okay, Billie Eilish fans. Thank you. My goodness.
Let's talk. Let's get into the Roman and Punk thing, because I thought the promo between Roman and Punk was excellent. I thought the promo they just did between Punk and the Usos was even better. I loved it, right? Like, Jimmy, best promo he's ever done in his life. He was awesome in that. With just, he's the calm guy, Jay's going crazy, and then they just had enough, right? You knew Punk wasn't going to just apologize. You knew he was sorry that they were idiots, right? You know what I mean? I don't know. Did you guys both catch that? Dan, did you catch that promo?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, and yeah, Punk is Punk. He's not going to, you know, that's what he does. He's an antagonist as well, despite being a babyface. And he's not, you know, he's going to stand his ground, and he knows exactly what's happened with Roman Reigns. And their story goes back years as well, you know, and even last year, WrestleMania. So them being able to bring in the Usos and potentially talking about the bloodline getting a little bit back together, or at least giving Punk some other people to wrestle as we get to WrestleMania in between is perfect.
I don't think Punk wrestles again. Well, do you think he wrestles one of the Usos?
He'll wrestle one, Matt. No, I don't think he wrestles one of them.
No?
Because the Usos about to get getting ready to get in their own feud with potentially with the Vision, so they're going to be busy themselves.
God, what a flop that thing is.
None of them are healthy. That's
right.
Disappointing run right now.
It is. I can't call it a flop because they didn't flop because they were bad. They flopped because three of the five guys got hurt.
Right. No. I agree. Well, three of the four, because I bet you if all four of those guys, Rollins, Breaker, Bronson Reed, and Logan Paul, if none of them get hurt, this guy over here, Austin Theory, no, not even, didn't even sniff any of this faction shit. Think about it. They only had him come in after Seth got hurt as the mask guy, right?
You're right, but there was rumors that he was always going to be the last member. I think they want him to be the last member for Logan.
Do you think he's gotten better since he's been in the Vision, either of you? Because I think he's worse.
He's a better wrestler, and he has better presence.
He can always
nobody,
wrestle.
Nobody cares.
Yeah, he's
problem.
Boring as fuck. He's worse than Gunther.
Talk to your boy.
Where's he been?
He's been okay lately. Well,
I have a pitch for Gunther's match at WrestleMania, by the way. We'll get to that in a minute.
Well, let's go ahead, Ray.
Look,
on, you don't have to go fast, but yeah, make your comment on the Usos here.
First and foremost, it was really good to see right hand man Jey Uso again, right? It was so good to see, because this is what I love about what the Bloodline has done for wrestling, and particularly for these characters, is it has shown Dan just mentioned how I see the little small nuances, right? And one of the biggest things right now, forgive the quick tangent, is how so many of the lapsed fans are complaining about Jey Uso because all he does is yeet and all the stuff, right? Do you know why he's so happy-go-lucky in character? Because he is a naturally angry fucking person. And you saw that again last night. Go back and watch the past 4 years of Jey Uso, and now you wonder why he's out here living his best life, because that's who he is. And people like him have to, when they walk that line, they have to go one way or the other. There's no middle ground. So either I'm going to be the happiest dude in the world, having a blast, running it back in the middle of matches, or I'm going to shoot you in your face every time I see you, because that's what I do. And we saw that Jey Uso last Monday night, and which is why Jimmy has always been such the most important cog, honestly, of that whole situation, because he has always been the calm, the standard, the connective tissue, right? I thought Punk would actually apologize, but find a way to flip it back like he did. I didn't think he doubled down. I thought he would definitely do something to get the heat back on him, but I think even he would acknowledge, yeah, that was a bit too far. And yeah, we're cool. But I'm sorry to say that about your daddy, but also this and that. Now he said, fuck all that. He damn near said, fuck your daddy. Fuck your dad. Like, brother, when he said that I stayed at his house, I basically babysat Lance, and I was like, he's about to nuke the building. Don't do it. So Dan, are you familiar with what a blicky is?
I don't think we should say what it is on the air, is what I'm guessing. Okay.
Well, Roman got to get the blicky. Right. Roman got to get the blicky. Oh, if boy. you know.
Oh, boy. I'm not even going to Google that. I don't need FBI at my house.
I'll send you a text you after the show. Oh,
it's
boy.
It's a gun.
Thank you for saying it on the show. I appreciate it.
It's a gun. He's got a gun. I'm on a plane. And I'm a bombardier.
We're all between 42
la,
and
la, 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 la,
between 35 and 35. Do you remember the Bone Crusher song, Never Scared? So I'm outside of the club and you think I'm a punk? Roman is playing that right now in his headphones.
I don't remember that one.
See, that's the Caucasian half of you, my boy. Every now and then it comes out.
Brock Lesnar. It's Obafemi, right? But here's my thing. What I'm hearing is Brock doesn't want to lose until he gets retired in August. And that's got to be Gunther because of what the story you've been telling with him retiring people. So how do we put Obafemi over without Brock, with Brock winning at WrestleMania?
I don't want to. Are you good, Dan? Can I go?
Go for it.
I don't think it's hard. I think it's very easy. I think
that's what she
Brock,
said. Ha, ha, ha. Sorry.
There have been many situations in which I'm sure she said that.
Oh, now you're not going to play it.
What?
Play what? Oh, he's looking for it.
That's what she said.
All right, we'll be quiet now.
No, I gotta love synergy. You basically have to make it where Oba whoops his ass and Brock steals the match because he's the old wily vet who knows more. And so I think most fans will be okay with Brock winning as long as, let's say the match goes 8 minutes, as long as Oba dominates 6 of 8. Oba needs to show that I'm just as dominant. Monday when he faced Rusev, when he hit his back body drop toss on Rusev, who's like legit 290.
Yeah, he's fucking perpendicular to the ground for a good 2.5 seconds. Yeah, no one handles Rusev like that. Yeah.
Nobody. If he can do that kind of stuff to Brock, and then Brock sneaks by, or even let's say dare I say, Brock cheats. Money, baby.
Yeah,
it's money.
What do you think, Dan?
Yeah, I don't think this would happen, but like catching. Yeah, I think that's the way to do it. I think if they could, like, if he caught him in some kind of Kimura lock and forced him to tap out because he just caught him weird or something like that, but I don't think they'd have Oba tap out. But I think that would be another way they could do it. You know, he's just kicking his ass and he just accidentally catches him with something, you know, UFC kind of style type of thing. They could maybe pull it that way. But yeah, I don't see it being anybody else besides Oba in that match. So
you don't believe the LA Knight rumors?
I just don't.
Brock Lesnar and LA Knight? Maybe. If you don't want to have Obafemi lose, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But LA Knight's going to lose.
You know who my first thought was when he announced it? Was Royce Keyes. That'd be a hell of an introduction.
That's who I had written down too. I would said, what about Powerhouse Hobbs?
They haven't done anything with him. He was in the Royal Rumble and he hasn't been on TV since.
Right. He's been on TV every week. Don't do that.
When?
They continue to make a point to show 30 seconds of his interview with Stephanie.
All right. Yeah, all right, fine. I fast forward. I can't
and understood. But also, what new wrestler has gone straight to be interviewed with Stephanie?
No. You're right.
And if you watched the interview, it was a 2-hour interview.
Yeah, it's... No, I watched most of the interview with Stephanie on Stephanie's Places. It was good.
By the way, great. She's great at it. The podcast is fantastic.
Yeah, she really gets them to feel comfortable talking to her. But yeah, I don't know. The thing about it too, like if you did like this gauntlet thing, that wouldn't help anybody out either, which you did with Brock Lesnar with all these guys. So I'm not sure.
I feel like it's got to be.
Book it?
I just feel like it's got to be somebody bigger like that that makes, he's going to make somebody look really good. I mean, otherwise, yeah, a gauntlet or something else that just doesn't move the needle, doesn't make any point to it, unless you're going to, or you could bring Omos. Are you bringing Omos back from Triple Ob over? You know, that's about it, right?
Dario Cueto will never let that boy go. He loves that man. Can I tell you how to book it? I wouldn't have anybody, I wouldn't have Oba answer or nothing. Nobody knows until we get to Mania. And then Brock comes out. Let's say Heyman's back just for this thing, right? Because Heyman's out. And we're waiting, and it's quiet. And then all of a sudden you hear, Kit Wilson! Dude, and Kit Wilson comes out to accept it. And then gets destroyed. And you think that's it. And you think it's a fun, ha ha ha. And then you hear Oba's music hit.
I mean, why don't we just...
You are cast!
Have him go out and try and curse Brock Lesnar and get the shit beat out of him.
Do you think Danhausen could take a beating from Brock? Last time I saw him take a bump, he broke his leg.
He'd get thrown around like Spike Dudley.
Good God.
They should make Danhausen Brock Lesnar's manager for the rest of his career through a SummerSlam. Oh, God.
That would be interesting.
Brock, you have no problem tonight. I have cursed your opponent. Brock's just like, yeah, that's why I'm going to have no problem tonight. Cool. Thanks, buddy. Slap him on the back. Oh,
hit me harder next time
and you'll be cursed.
I don't think either one of you have been big NXT people, but maybe 7 years ago, 6 years ago, Killian Dane and Rockstar Spud, Drake Maverick had a team basically like that. Where, like, he just was like a little, it's basically the walking meme of Nelson and what's the other little frilly boy
Martin.
Martin, when he's skipping around them and Nelson's just like,
shut up.
That was literally their tag team, so that it could work.
The other tag team we were thinking for Danhausen will be Demonhausen.
Yes. Finn and the Demon. Finn Balor, he's friends with Finn. But he's scared of the Demon.
Do we see Demon at WrestleMania when he faces Dom? Or is he just going to be regular Finn? Because that boy got jumped. Like, he got, like, that's gang. He got gang jumped Monday.
Why not? Have we ever seen the Demon at WrestleMania?
Yeah, against Edge.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, why not bring it back? It's
and
right
against
time,
Bobby Lashley at 35. Right,
I forgot about that. All right.
Yeah, everybody forgot about that match because that show was like 17 hours long.
Oh, my God. Somebody today was like responded to people bitching about there's no card yet already. They're like, you must not remember watching a 7 hour and 24 minute WrestleMania. Like,
bro. Do you want to hear my Gunther pitch for Mania?
Let's hear it. And then we're going to take a break and head to football.
So look at where we've gone so far with Gunther, right? He gets rid of Cena, and then he gets Edge out the paint. And what's he been doing since he got Edge out the paint? AJ's tag team partner, at least his last one, Dragon Lee, been getting on that ass, right? Who's Dragon Lee's mentor who also is a very old man who needs to go away somewhere?
Rey Mysterio. Yeah, we talked about that too, though, but like Dan said, Rey's last match should be with Dom. Dom should retire Rey.
But here's the beauty of that. Just because he retires in WWE doesn't mean he can't wrestle his last match AAA. Also, you could flip it. Check your boy. This is booking.
Rey Mysterio
Cash.
Beats Dom for the title and then retires. Then they have a tournament.
Nope.
That's better than anything you're going to say.
Nope. Night one. Finn, Dom. Finn beats Dom.
Finn, Dom.
And that's it. And does it all, right? And beats the holy hell out of Dom. I mean, I wouldn't even have a match long, like 6 minutes. Night two, Gunther Rey. Gunther damn near chops the tattoos off of the boy. And he beats him. And then after the match, he continues to go after him, and trying to take his mask off. And Dom comes to save his dad.
No thanks.
Now you can have him come save his dad and become babyface Dirty Dom. Or what if Dom turns heel as a heel for the third time? That's the only dude
who knows who's
turned heel as already a heel. He's done it twice. If he does it a third fucking time, that boy, put him in the Hall of Fame next year.
I really don't know what they're gonna do with Gunther, to be honest with you. There's no writing on the wall for that right now.
That makes the most sense though, because Dragon Lee been getting all the smoke. Who Dragon Lee gonna go to? That's Ray.
I don't think
boy.
Ray's ready to retire yet, though.
Okay, that's the other thing. Who said it has to be a retirement match?
Just trying to keep the story going for Gunther.
Also, real quick, one last thing, Dan. One of these days, he got to lose one of these matches where he's going to retire somebody else. It's not fun anymore.
Already? That's he just started,
farther
though.
Down the road, at least.
Well, goddamn, how many people are going to retire? 17?
How many did Randy retire?
He never retired anybody.
Well, how many legends did he kill?
The way he said he killed a legend is when he RKO'd him. Like, it's a big difference between what Randy did. Yeah,
we'll just have to agree to disagree then, because I don't know what argument I can make.
They don't have to have them.
See what I like.
Not every match has to be a retirement match. I agree, but I think the big PLEs will be a retirement match if he's going to do it, and I think at least stretch it out till next WrestleMania. You know, there's a couple guys with Lesnar, and you know, if Ray is shortly somewhere is ready and whatever, there's a couple I think that if he could pull out and have him retire him. Maybe some guys that aren't even necessarily on the roster. Maybe they do bring in a legend or two or something and have them beat them too.
Last question. Yes or no? Does Jericho ever come back to WWE?
Oh.
Yes.
No. All right, folks, we're going to take our second commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk some NFL free agency moves. And Ray is really, really happy about it, I think. Or maybe not. We're going to hear. We're going to hear from the Ravens fan right after this commercial break.
It's cute.
Now a word from my god, our sponsor.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Let's go.
What do you mean? What do I mean? It's the last thing we're going to talk about today. And today, that topic would be NFL acquisitions during the tampering period. Let me run down some key moves. I'll start with the quarterbacks. Malik Willis, 3-year deal worth $67.5 million, 45 guaranteed with the Dolphins. Geno Smith traded from the Raiders to the Jets. Oh, God. Daniel Jones agrees to a 2-year, $88 million deal. With the Colts. Tua signs a 1-year deal with Atlanta. Kyler Murray, still a free agent, expected to visit with the Vikings as we are speaking. Some other high-profile signings. After the reversal of the Max Crosby trade, Trey Hendrickson signs a 4-year, $112 million deal with Baltimore. Kenneth Walker III is a Kansas City Chief, 3 years, up to $45 million. Jalen Phillips signed a 4-year, $120 million deal with the Carolina Panthers. Travis Etienne is headed to New Orleans for 4 years, $52 million. Mike Evans headed to San Francisco, ending his long tenure with the Bucs. Rashad White is going to head to the Commanders. Romeo Doubs took his gigantic helmet and went to New England, 4 years, up to $80 million. Tyler Linderbaum, a guy a lot of people thought were going to sign with the Bears after their center retired, is signed with the Las Vegas Brady's. And Reek, he's going by Reek now, just Reek. Reek Woolen signed with the Philadelphia Eagles. Some other notable trades or moves, Jermaine Johnson II, Tavondre Sweat from the Bears to the Bills. Washington's made some moves. The Chargers have made a couple moves.
White Walker and N'Kobe Dean to the Raiders. Big deal.
Yeah, the Raiders. See, the funny thing about the Raiders is I'll transition to the Max Crosby thing now. Since they traded him and before the trade got killed, we'll say, they went out and spent a lot of money. So they might not even have the money to keep Max Crosby anymore.
Ray, that's the cold part. They got the money still. That's the cold part.
what is your thought as a Ravens fan, how everything worked out? How hyped were you? How mad were you? And then what's your thoughts on Trey Hendrickson? Because honestly, Trey Hendrickson thought he was going to play with Max Crosby.
Yes. So that's a lot. I'll try to be quick because I know I don't want us to be here all night. Well, all afternoon because you guys record
lunch
early as hell. Yeah, like I'm eating this. Well, I'm eating my lunch basically. Baltimore is one of the few teams in the NFL that has a culture that is so unmistakable. You can look at a player and say, oh yeah, that dude looks like a Raven. Not a lot of teams that have that, right? Max Crosby was built to be a Raven based on who he is, the way he acts, the way he plays, his demeanor, all of that. So it was I was overjoyed when the trade happened. Now, forgive me for using the word that Eric DaCosta used, but it's apt here. I was gutted when the trade was off because of the physical. But over the past 2 days, I do this on purpose, Tony. You know this. I don't tweet on socials or post on socials for various reasons. One of them being in my younger days, I got in a little bit of a few fracases and ruckuses and that were out of my comfort zone and out of my character. And so I found it easier to just kind of lurk and stay away. But it has brought that out of me again this past week with the way people have completely defamed, completely conspiracized, completely taken every single umbrage they could against the Baltimore Ravens, saying things like we're scumbags or we were conspirators or all this. When every single fact, forget the fact that I'm a fan. I'm a dude who believes in facts. I'm a logical thinker. I am a pragmatic, logical thinker. Every fact that has been reported, announced, given has been that the Ravens were talking. The Ravens traded for Max Crosby on Friday. After they traded for Max Crosby, they were already talking with Trey Hendrickson. Now, Trey Hendrickson, who was the belle of the ball this year, was talking to other teams besides Baltimore. There was the trade happened Friday. He got to Baltimore Monday to take the physical. That's 3 days, right? So to try to insinuate that, oh, well, they got cold feet because Trey Hendrickson's number went down. We was talking to him the whole time. So how the fuck did they get cold feet when they were already talking to him? As you mentioned in the beginning, the plan was for them to play together, especially when they knew Linderbaum wasn't coming back. The second thing that bothers me the most is, I think the Raiders are some assholes for the way they have broached this issue. Coming out saying the Ravens backed out of the trade is dirty pool. The Ravens didn't back out of the trade. The player failed his physical. And if you've watched sports enough, you understand that every trade, every signing, every transaction with the player is contingent on a physical. The Texans released the guy today they tried to sign because he failed his physical. That is the way sports happens all the time. It's basketball. Mark Williams was supposed to be traded from Charlotte to the Suns last year. The trade went through. I mean, it failed. Why? Because he failed his physical. That is just the way sports is. Now, is Max Crosby going to play this year? Probably, because that's the kind of dude who would literally tape 4 sticks and takes Toradol and smelling salts and crack cocaine, whatever he had to take to get on the field and play. He's a warrior. That doesn't mean he's going to be able to play next year. Do you have that? If you're going to get a dude $100 million and trade 2 first-round picks, the Ravens have never traded a first-round pick in 26 years. Or 30 years, however long it's been, 1996. Yeah, 30 years. So to think that they decided to trade 2 of them and all of a sudden, nah, son, we don't like that. What? Not also facts, Mr. Tunney. Facts, Mr. I don't want to say your real last name, Mr. PP.
I think you'd rather say your last name.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Hey, Mr.
Speaking
PP,
of dirty pool.
Pissed.
I apologize. Besides talking to their team doctor, besides talking to his doctor, surgeon, and the best surgeon in the business, who's the Cowboys surgeon, who also was trying to trade him, they also consulted 5 other independent doctors. So, like, myth with all this conspiracy stuff. It's cool to say it sucks for Max. It's cool to say the whole thing looked bad. But if you're Will Compton, by the way, fuck you, Will Compton. If you people like that who coming out trying to literally defame the team, talking to people, there are journalists literally coming. Fuck you, Diana Rossini. Literally coming out saying. Right. Oh, well, nobody's going to talk to Ravens no more.
Right.
DaCosta literally had to say, my phone ain't stopped ringing. Right. I'm dog. Right.
Ray.
Kicking me in, my fellas. Dirty pool, mister. Dirty pool.
My finger on that button for 2 minutes. So I was ready to go.
Oh, bad. I had to get it out of my system, dog. I'm sorry. I've only texted that to like 7 people and like multiple accounts.
Would you like to add anything to that, Dan?
Yeah, the Ravens are terrible. Anyway, there he goes. And Ray's out. And that's the last you've heard of Ray on the DWI podcast.
It's Ray Cash.
Yeah, that's just it's just a bad situation all around, just with everything. The deal wasn't finished and you have to pass the physicals and you have the opportunity to back out after all that happens. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's, you know, too bad. We said, okay, we don't feel comfortable taking that guy anymore. Nothing wrong with that. That's not nothing. None of that was a bad move. And it's just on now it's on the teams of them trying to make the Ravens look bad and whatever. Like that's, kind of a bunch of shit. I mean, I agree with Ray a lot on that. It's bad. It's a bad look for the Raiders to be doing that kind of thing to the Ravens to try and make the Ravens look bad when they did everything they right and what they wanted to do. And they said, hey, we don't want him anymore based on what happened with the physicals. That's their right.
It's also come out that the Ravens tried to keep the trade working, but just reworked the trade because they thought it was unfair for the 2 first round picks. And the Raiders were like, no, we want the first round picks, which is why they were like, well, we got to walk away because he's not worth it. Yeah. Given if the dude doesn't play, Will Compton tried to cite Ryan Grant, the receiver, because they did this to him a few years, 10 years ago, whatever. Ryan Grant played literally 16 more games after we did sign him. We failed his physical because of an ankle injury. The next season, he signed with the Colts in week 5. Daniel, guess what he hurt? His ankle.
Let's move on.
No, man, I got 20 more minutes, dog.
You don't. You don't, though. Not here. You need to bring the Outsider's Edge back for that. I wanted you to get it off your chest, but not for 3 hours.
I do think it's funny that Geno Smith has gone full circle. I think that's kind of funny.
That is hilarious.
It's unfortunate.
So what I want to do here is you guys take your time to kind of look it over while I give mine. The best free agent signing and the worst free agent signing so far. And I'm going to stick in the quarterback realm here. I think Malik Willis is going to be a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. I really do. He's going to a team where he's familiar with his head coach. He is going to a team that has weapons to throw to. He's going to a team that has a good, fast running back. So I'm looking for Malik Willis. I am so happy for that guy. He did nothing but come to Green Bay and be positive, and when put in, deliver. For 2 years when he was a backup, he delivered. The worst signing, in my opinion, and it's not the player, it's the mount. How are you going to give Daniel Jones $88 million over the next 2 years coming off that injury? I don't get it. I do get the fact that there's very limited options on the quarterback carousel, and you don't want to end up with Kyler Murray, who's the only best one left yet. But I still think that that's a lot of money to spend on Daniel Jones. Who wants to go next? Either of you have a favorite or a what the fuck happened here?
I tell you one that I think is a fantastic pick, fantastic choice. I think, and you know I hate these motherfuckers. You know I hate them, But the Bills traded for DJ Moore.
DJ Moore,
and,
yeah.
And they signed Bradley Chubb.
I think the DJ Moore thing is going to be pretty big. It's the best receiver Josh Allen's ever had.
And this is going to come up for sake. It's not
because let me clarify that. He didn't have Minnesota Stephon Diggs. I think current DJ Moore is better than Baltimore Stephon Diggs. So
I agree. Tyler Linderbaum is a great player. Top three center in the league. And depending on how you feel about Creed Humphrey, maybe the best. But they signed him for like $10 million over what the market would have gave him. So like they could, because they had like $130 million in cap space.
Do you think they did that because they had to, because he was going to sign with the Bears otherwise, right?
Well, I think they did that because they had it. Who called? Was it Ryan Clark or Dominic Foxworth or one of them guys on GetUp? They called it the well, he didn't say this word, but the shitty team sacks. That shitty team's got to pay more for good players because you know what they're going to. And Baltimore still had a chance to try to keep him. I know a lot of other teams wanted to get out of him, the Bears being one of them. But they had $130 million, dog. I also think you want to be conspiratorial. They knew that the Max Crosby trade had happened. So let's go ahead and make sure that we're going to take their money. We're going to take their best player too. And it's a smart move. I just think they didn't have to get him for that much. They could have got him for 23 a year. 27?
Paying him now.
27. By the way,
bringing in a rookie quarterback, you know.
By the way, hey, Dan, remember that blicky we talked about earlier? I need you to put the blicky in your station wagon, meet me in Jersey, and Harbaugh got to get the blicky. Stop stealing my people, dog.
On your way, Dan, can you pick up Mookie and Ray Ray?
Oh, I got the Vista Ray Cruiser Ray. I need to bring out, and geez, like the wood paneling and everything. Cruiser. What the?
Jesus. Oh, snap.
Jeez.
What is this? Mike Jones driving here on the wood grain? Mike Jones on the wood grain, huh?
I think in my opinion, there's really nobody in the that's been
hit him up on the low
in this free agency class. It's all like mid card guys like that have been shifted around. There's no big needle movers. I mean, the Hendrickson
one. I have
to find
my Mike
decent,
Jones CD after this.
Like the rest of them are just
330-8004. By the way,
is that Jenny's number?
No.
Fun fact:
I can say something really bad right now.
Being a Houstonian, that was really his number. Like people really called him.
Nice.
So that wasn't the mark. That was real. I'm sorry. I pulled a Tunney. Dan, please continue. I want to hear what you have to say. Tunney does it.
I think the most fantastic quarterback room is going to be watching the Falcons with their.
Did you say fantastic?
Yeah, it's gonna be fantastic to watch them because they're. They're going to have two pair of legs between their quarterbacks. I don't even know if they're going to get one on the field. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
It is genius, though, that the one starting team with the lefty quarterback got a backup lefty quarterback. I love that.
I didn't really think about that.
Well, you don't have to worry about changing the playbook for them.
Too bad both their lefty quarterbacks suck.
Don't have a left arm.
You know, if Michael Penix didn't have all the injuries in college, he might be a really good NFL quarterback. He just can't fucking move.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's all been, to me, like everybody I'm looking at, it's all been mid-level guys that are just getting shifted around, backups to
or really good players that are. Are really good players that are almost done with their career. Like Mike Evans to the 49ers three years ago. Oh man. But now it's like, well, how much longer did Christian McCaffrey and Mike Evans and who's their left tackle?
Oh, Trent Williams?
Yeah, who's like 74. I mean
Yeah. Yeah, that's a lot of the problem.
Well, we got the NFL draft coming up here soon. That should be pretty good. We'll probably be covering that on a few different shows here and there. But for today, Ray, thanks for coming on, buddy. We always appreciate it.
We're done?
Great. We're done. That's it. This is not a crazy long show. We've already gone. Oh, shit. We're almost an hour. That's longer than we usually do.
Yeah, because it's just you two at 10:15. Y'all are recording this while Price is Right is on.
Right. It's almost noon. I got to go to bed.
We got to get in and out of here so we can get on the golf course. You know, we got our tee time at 9.
I got to leave and check back in at work for the second half of my work day. Today would be a great day for tee time, I'd imagine, for y'all.
Why?
Today?
I don't know. It's sunny outside here. It's I don't know what it looks like in Milwaukee.
30 degrees.
Like 35.
Okay.
It was snowing.
Put some long johns on. You know, wrap your balls up. You'll be fine.
This is a guy who lives in the city where if it snows an inch, it's shut down for 9 weeks.
Yeah, infrastructure, huh? Don't blame me. Blame the politicians. They ain't gonna do that.
Let's get out of here. Ray, let everybody know where they can find you.
You can find me on the Twitter machine. Well, are we even doing that anymore? Because, you know, I thought we were beefing with them because of Dave. You can find me at my house in Houston.
You can find Ray at It's Ray Cash. You can follow me at PC Tunney. Dan, where you can find you in the show?
At It's Me DPP. All over those worldwide social media interwebs, including X and Podcast DWI to follow this show. And Facebook.com/DWI Podcast.
There you go. PP. See, I told you.
Show's over. We did it again. 512 in the books. Continue to listen to ChairShot Radio Network. ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Tune into Bandwagon Nerds live this Sunday on my Twitter feed. Goodbye.
You are cast.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.